Hello and welcome to our podcast, Looking Through the Rearview, All Things Sports, where we bring you the latest news, analysis, and discussion on the world of sports. So, whether you are a fan of football, basketball, baseball, golf, soccer, the Super Bowl, or other sports, we've got you covered, where we share our insights and opinions on the hottest topics. So, sit back, relax, and get ready for a fun and informative journey into the world of sports. Hello again, friends. My name is AJ Beamer, and there's my counterpart,
Nick Almer. Good morning, and happy early spring. Feels like spring around here, but we're
almost cracking your 50s for the 50s and 80s.
Right. That's why it's shorts time. I'm going to try to enjoy it as much as I can.
Yes.
It's going to get cold again here. So.
Yeah. What was his name? Paxton Hughes? Or?
Yeah. Punxsutawney Phil.
I guess he was on the money.
He was, yeah. He's hanging out as we speak. I don't see him, but I'm sure we'll run into him. Well, hopefully not over him.
Nice.
But it is Super Bowl weekend.
It is Super Bowl weekend.
And we have arrived.
We have arrived.
And are we going to look at another dynasty if the Chiefs win?
Which
I did pick the Chiefs to win, and you did too.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
So, kind of interesting. I'd be stunned if they lose.
Stunned's a pretty strong word.
Well, yeah, but I like to be bold. So,
yeah
I'd be stunned if they lose. I'm going to stick with that word, stunned.
Thank you. I think it's going to be a great game, and I think both teams have equal opportunity to get the W. It all comes down to all the cliches.
Yeah.
Turnover battle.
Yep. Who's going to make the big play?
Limiting mistakes and penalties.
Yeah.
Who can make those halftime adjustments?
Yeah. Who's going to win in the trenches?
We got a top five Super Bowls, but we should have top five at some point sports cliches. That's a good one. The trenches. Oh my, that's classic. Nick, how was your week?
It was an okay week. Yeah, some ups and downs, kind of like the elevator business. So.
Okay, yeah. We've been on the elevator before.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it went fast. So I'm looking. Next weekend, we have a 3-day weekend, so I'm looking forward to that. So,
yeah.
You know, got to celebrate President's Day somehow.
That's right. That is a huge day to remember all those dead presidents.
Right, yes. So if you're, sounds like if you need a pillow, like kind of like Tom Brady, like I got, maybe you get a president's pillow.
Speaking of presidents, let's go post or pre. Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Who would be your Mount Rushmore of presidents?
Oh my, I mean.
So I guess that'd be four, right?
Yeah. Is that FDR?
Okay.
Lincoln?
Okay. Are they already up on Mount Rushmore?
Yeah. I mean, trying to think, I don't know, Kennedy.
Okay.
Yeah. And trying to think who, I don't know, Truman?
Truman?
I don't know, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Truman was the one that followed FDR, right?
Yes.
He dropped the bombs.
Yes. So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's a hard question. It's early in the morning. So I don't know. I mean,
keep Nick Almer on his toes. Ooh.
I don't know. So
nice.
Yeah. How about you?
Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, just the ones that I would study growing up. Obviously, Washington. You didn't have, but Lincoln.
I didn't want to be boring and
right. Of course. So. Yeah. Right. Gotcha. actually. One president I've read about who seemed pretty fascinating as just an individual, Teddy Roosevelt.
Okay.
Yeah. Who I guess was kind of a Renaissance man of sorts, would kind of do a lot of different things, and so he'd be interesting. I'd throw him up there, but yeah, it just kind of came to my mind there since it is President's Day next week, and just so the listeners know, next week on President's Day,
yeah,
we probably won't have a podcast because the Beamers will be away that weekend.
Oh,
getting back Sunday night, so maybe a Monday President's Day we could have one.
Where are you guys going next weekend?
I don't know if I should say.
Oh, okay.
Somebody gonna break into my house now?
No.
No, New York.
Okay. Yeah. Visit family.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So no podcast next week.
Yeah. So you get a little break, a little 2-week break, listeners.
I know you guys will be itching to come back, especially Canadian followers.
Oh, wow.
Kind of just finding that out that now, but we break news here, so.
We do break news.
So.
And I'm really breaking my patience here. I guess I'll just go. My week was good, Nick.
Yes, thank you. Sorry. I was trying to.
The President's Day got you a little, flustered, yeah, I understand.
How was your week? How was your week?
Well, we talked a little bit pre-podcast that in one of the former podcasts, I said my sledding days are over.
Yeah.
And I'm beginning to quickly come to the realization that my team sport days could be coming to an end. I play in an indoor soccer league, and we had a game on Sunday, so now we're 6 days out, and my knees are still creaking and achy, and my ankles, and I don't know if it's something to do with the soccer cleats, and they're so much thinner, and
yeah,
my body's just been hurting. Yeah. So I'm thinking, and I love to play golf when I play.
Sounds like you need a nice shoulder rub.
Ooh, I bet a little foot dog rub on that barefoot back nine.
Yeah, that's right. It sounds like your barefoot back nine's in the works.
Get a little electricity. So, yeah. So I've been kind of hobbling around and making do. Okay. So, but other than
that. Oh, we're happy to have you here, though.
Thank you. Hey, got to work through a little adversity.
Right.
So it was a good week, though. At school, we were kind of finishing up our basketball unit, and so it's been fun. I've been doing basketball stations. So there's a passing station, a dribbling station, two different types of shooting stations. And so the kids seem to really be enjoying that. And so it's kind of fun. It kind of feels like I'm back in the coaching
of
basketball. And
back in our...
Working it, yeah.
When I helped you at Lincoln, we were powerhouse.
That's right. One win in 2 years, or you only helped 1 year, right?
Yeah. We got our... last second win, I think it was against Reynolds. We really thought things were on the upswing. And
that was early on in the year.
Early on.
Yeah.
We really thought things were turning the corner.
They certainly did turn the corner, but not the direction we thought we were going to be headed. So, yeah. Woo. Well, Nick, speaking of turning the corner, it sounds like it's time for our first segment of Headline News. And I guess in sports, you don't get any bigger headlines than the Super Bowl.
Yes.
So it's finally arrived.
It has arrived, yep.
Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think Chiefs win, and I think that they win pretty handily. And, I hope for a good game, but at the same time, I just think that Andy Reid's a heck of a coach and Mahomes is a beast. So, and get ready for Taylor Swift because she's coming in. Lock all your windows and doors because she's coming in from Tokyo. So.
Speaking of locking all your windows and doors, I started using that at school.
Have people liked it?
Well. So what? I don't remember what grade it was. I think it was a younger grade, and so I use it as
an opportunity for the kids to get quiet.
Yeah.
Lock all their windows and doors. So I saw say the doors are your mouth and your windows are your eyes. So okay. Lock your eyes on me and close the door and get quiet. Okay. So lock all your windows and doors, boys and girls. So Super Bowl, I know a lot of people get really hyped up about Super Bowl. And listen, when the Eagles are in, I'm hyped up. When the Eagles aren't in, I'm not really fully locked in. I will watch the game and it'll be fun. But this would be have a little bit more tie, I guess, because of Andy Reid. And I'm a big Andy Reid guy. But I think just the Super Bowl in general and the hype that comes with it and all the pregame festivities and the halftime show and this and that. It feels like the game almost becomes second fiddle.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and like you said, I know one of your, maybe we'll have to bring that back today, Testito's pet peeves, where people who aren't real sports fans all of a sudden show up. I don't know if you remember saying that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So you get a lot of fans that don't really watch and follow a team kind of show up, which I think is fine. I don't have a problem with that. But one of the things I would say, this is kind of a sideshow to the Super Bowl, okay. But I really feel like in the last 5 years, Super Bowl commercials have really gone downhill.
Yeah, they have.
And not in a bad way, but they're just like, not as they're not as creative and funny. I don't know what you think.
I don't think so either. I think they've kind of dropped off a little bit.
Cuz that was one of the things I enjoyed about the Super Bowl is
so are you going to a Super Bowl party?
Well, we have friends that had us over last year for the first time, and so that one was a little bit touchy. Not in a bad way, just because the Eagles were in the Super Bowl. Okay. And so I had to really make a decision. Do I want to be around people? Because I tend to, when the Eagles are playing, it's just me.
Lock it in.
And the announcers.
Yeah.
That's all I want to hear. Yeah. I don't talk to anybody. If somebody talks to me, I say, why aren't you listening? Well, because I'm talking to the announcers. Yeah, even though I'm not talking, they're talking to me. So I really lock in and watch, and you know my wife makes fun of me when I'm watching Eagle games because I'm a body mover.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So the play's happening and the Eagles specifically are on defense and they're trying to make a tackle and I'm twitching and getting up out of my seat and so and you know kind of reserve that for. The home court.
But
we did go over.
But you're kind of on your, you're not in your home field.
Right.
You're kind of like, well, what can I do or not do? Where's kind of the.
Right.
What's the limit?
Yeah. So now that the Eagles aren't in it, it's not a big deal.
Okay.
But
you are going to that
part. Yeah. Okay. Going to the friend's house again to watch the game. So, yeah. But the commercials, thoughts on Usher? I feel like you would be kind of an Usher guy. I know you're a dancer and he likes to dance.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I'm feeling it. I'm ready to rock.
Oh, whoa, okay. So, what's been one of your favorite halftime shows? Did Taylor Swift ever do one?
I don't know if she did or not. Yeah, I don't know. I will say, I mean, last year I felt like there were some interesting parts, but I felt like Rihanna's last year was pretty good.
Okay.
Like I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, that was the one where they lifted her up high.
Yeah.
And
she was doing it. She was pregnant too.
Right.
So that was kind of impressive. So.
Right.
Yeah.
And the year before that was the throwback to West Coast rap.
Yeah, I think was that. I believe
was that
so.
Eminem, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, I like that one.
And then. I don't know how many years ago this one was, but this was kind of like the first exposure I ever had to this singer. And I don't really listen to him, but the one song has always been popular, but I don't even know what the name is of the guy. You probably would know, but the one song goes, do, 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 do. That's not even close to what, because
I'm trying to think.
Girls hit you, hallelujah. Ooh, girls
hit you, hallelujah. Oh, yeah, that,
Don't believe me, just watch.
Yeah.
I feel like he did one.
Bruno Mars, yes.
Yeah. Yes. He did an interesting one where it's kind of like throughout was like walking through a maze or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was good. Yeah.
So there was that one, obviously, way back when, out in California. Michael Jackson did one.
Yeah, I would have been like 3 years old.
Okay, when were you born?
90.
Yeah, I think it was like 93.
Yeah.
He did that one.
That was probably awesome to watch, huh?
I don't really remember much about it.
Okay.
I feel like they had a video screen because he did the one song, Black and White. And yeah. So they just had this, it was kind of a cool feature where it just showed a face and it just kind of turned these different faces of people around the world, which is kind of cool. I'm trying to feel like was that a controversial Super Bowl one? Because was he already in the grips of all his accusations and weirdness with kids? I don't know.
I thought that was pre.
It might have been pre.
Yeah.
But I feel like maybe he did have one prior, but yeah. Anyway, so there's that one. I'm trying to think. I can't really remember of. Oh, there was the, which I didn't watch live, but there was the wardrobe malfunction.
That's right. Yeah, you're always getting it.
Timberlake and Janet Jackson, right?
Never know what's going to come out. Super Bowl, so, yes.
Oh, man. So, so you got that coming up with Usher. I was never a huge Usher fan, but sounds like you're all in.
Yeah, I think it'll be cool.
Okay.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it won't be. I don't know. But right. I'm sure he'll do well.
Yeah. I mean, he's a dancer, I guess, entertainer, so. Not saying I'll be watching, but yeah, just kind of doubling down on the fact that I think the Chiefs will win. I think defensively they'll do enough, and offensively, I don't even remember what the score I picked. Did I pick a high scoring game or a low score? I think I picked a high scoring game, and you went a little lower.
Yeah,
we'll have to go back and listen.
Yeah, well, I think I said, what did I say?
Oh, you said a blowout.
Yeah, a blowout. I think I said like 30. Did I say 34-20?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And I was more like, what, 31-27, 31-24?
Yeah, 31-27 or 28.
So, wow. Yeah. Interesting stuff. So, speaking of those trenches, I don't really have anything to say.
Yeah, well, I mean, just. I mean,
oh my!
Kind of, you have the QB, you know, Purdy versus Mahomes.
Yeah, what do you think there? That's obviously a Mahomes.
Yeah, and the 49ers rushing edge, and kind of, you know, how much pressure are they going to be able to get on Mahomes?
Right,
we'll see.
And I mentioned to you last podcast that it was their defense that was. And they wore liability a little bit, but more so in that one Super Bowl that they lost, their offensive line was terrible, and Mahomes didn't really have any time. Remember, he had to make all these throws, and he did that one throw where he was getting tackled, almost his knee was down. Yes. So I feel like they've really, that's almost become a strength of theirs now.
Oh, yeah, it has been, yeah,
so absolutely. A pretty quick turnaround there from the Kansas City Chiefs organization with their offensive line. And for all the accolades that the 49er defense got this year, some of the commentary I was listening to basically said they can't stop the run, which was kind of shocking to me.
Yeah, I was surprised about that. But, I mean, you kind of get into the Super Bowl, you kind of get everything kind of gets picked apart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's going to be looking for those weaknesses.
Right.
So, but.
Tight ends, pretty much, I guess you would call a toss-up. Kerry Kittles.
That's a toss.
Not Kerry Kittles.
What is George, it?
George Kittles.
Yeah. Kittle. Yep.
George Kittle.
Yeah.
Not Kittles.
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't want
Kerry Kittles. You know who that is?
Kerry Kittles. No. Who's Kerry?
He was a Villanova basketball player.
Okay. Back when you were Skittles.
Back when you were three.
Okay.
No, good stuff. So maybe we can. Pass the buck there on that Super Bowl, and we'll have plenty
well,
of.
I think,
some more stuff you want to talk
well,
about?
Well, now, ahead. I think tomorrow before the Super Bowl, I think we should call each other and talk more about the Super Bowl.
I think so.
I mean, you can never talk more, or you can never talk
enough
about the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
I think we need to, right now, between now and tomorrow night, we need to eat, dream, and you know, just sleep and think about the Super Bowl and talk about that.
Well, Nick Homer's really into this. Wow. I love it.
I mean, yeah, you know, it is kind of funny, though. Like, I feel like it is in some ways anticlimactic, you know, like all the hype for the Super Bowl, and it's like a lot of the stuff surrounding the Super Bowl isn't even about the just the game.
Right.
It's a halftime show. It's the
who's singing the national anthem?
Yeah, you know, all the
commercials.
Commercials and the and who's bringing what food? And,
oh, right.
You know, and you know what's Nick Ulmer going to eat and not eat, you know? I'm going to take one bite and send it to the trash can, you know.
Oh, can I say that story?
Well, I mean, we can talk about it another time. So, so you know.
Very good, very good, very good, very good. Yeah, good.
Keep it in the vault.
Keep it in the vault
for now.
Now, here's that spread. It says 49ers minus 1.5. What does that mean?
It says 49ers minus 1.5. Mm-hmm. Is that what spread?
Okay. Does that mean? They're favored?
Yeah, they're favored by 1.5.
Oh.
Yep.
Is that changed? I thought the Chiefs were favored at one point. I don't understand all that.
Yeah, so that probably, that could go to, you know, to breaking even at some point here. But we'll see. So, but yeah, I mean, it's as tight as you can get.
Right.
I mean, almost as tight as you can get. So,
yeah.
So, yeah.
Right. So, yeah. 49ers 12-5, Chiefs 11-6, records kind of identical. I think it should be a good game. I really think it just comes down to what does Brock Purdy do? Mahomes has proven it year after year here now for a while. And I mean, people want to say about that comeback that the 49ers, I guess they had two different ones, but I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if Brock Purdy does, if he earns it and does some miraculous things in this, then I think people got to say, this is it.
Yeah,
he's the guy.
He's the guy.
Because I feel like there's been points this year.
So you think if he loses then, you think?
I don't know. I think there's some uncertainty there. Because even throughout the season, as some things were happening, and even in the playoffs, it was almost like, when it comes up, because what is this? I guess this is only year two.
Yes.
So he'll have two more years on his rookie deal. Is he going to get the franchise quarterback type payout? Are they on board? I mean, at this point, I would say you gave away your number one draft pick to who was at the Cowboys.
Yep.
And so you're pretty much, I guess, saying you're all in. But it just felt like there was a little bit of uncertainty and can he get it done? Is this the kind of player that you need good pieces around? I heard Joe Montana talk recently, and he said,
You're a big Joe man.
back in the day, I did. I liked him. And he was kind of the first quarterback I would have seen in a Super Bowl that I could remember. And he was, I don't know, he's just, you know, good looking guy, this and that. But he, I liked what he said. He said, you know, I didn't have the strongest arm. Wasn't the most athletic guy around. And he said, I just felt like I was the mailman.
Just
just get the ball out into the people's hands and let them do their thing. Yeah. I didn't think I did anything miraculous. Yeah. Just kind of, and I know the West Coast offense was kind of known for that. Quick drops and get the ball out of your hands. Quick crossing routes, let the receivers run after the catch. And so, and I think that's what they're trying to do with Brock Purdy. But I think when the 49ers have gotten down, or he's been forced to kind of take on more of a superhero role, is where maybe they've struggled a little bit. So I think if the Chiefs can really lock the run up, it'll be interesting to see. So, and it's on
CBS.
CBS. Yeah. So we'll get a little Tony Romo action.
Yeah.
You a Tony Romo guy?
Yeah, overall, he's pretty good. I mean, kind of drone on sometimes, but
yeah,
he's good.
You remember back in the day when they said they were saying that there was some controversy between him and Jim Nance or something?
Yeah.
Was that ever validated?
I, I think some people said there was, but they kind of kept it under wraps. So
okay,
they didn't say much about it. But
right, wonder what. Everything I hear about Jim Nance is he's just the greatest guy around. And so I wonder what got Jim Nance a little irked.
Maybe he didn't like Romo kind of taking the spotlight, you know.
Could be. Yeah, so. I don't know. But it'll be interesting now that we talk about Jim Nance, not that we're going to this topic, but it is getting closer to March Madness.
Yes,
but last
it is.
Year was Jim Nance's last year.
Yeah.
And so I thought
that meant
everything. Yeah. So I didn't think he was going to be doing the Masters. He was going to do the, but he's doing the Masters. He's doing the Super Bowl. And he did this year. I haven't heard anything about him stepping away, but that had to be a lot.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
At his age, I don't know how old he is, but man, going from the Super Bowl right into, going from the, well, doing football, going right into pretty much main primetime announcing for the college basketball season,
and then
Masters.
Right, yep, no breaks.
Yeah. So, anyway, I think it's time to move on, Nick.
Yes,
Homer.
I can always talk more Super Bowl.
That's right. How about a little bit of college football?
Yeah. Chip Kelly going to Ohio State.
Yeah.
He's coming east.
Back to the east where he started his roots.
Yeah.
New Hampshire.
Be interesting. And Bill O'Brien's going to Boston College, so he's coming back to
back to Flutie Country.
Yeah. I don't know how much talent though you'll be able to get at Boston College. I don't know. I feel like Boston College always kind of like that
1AA.
Yeah. They like, and a lot of times, a lot of years they make a bowl game, but they make, you know, they'll make the Pinstripe Bowl, you know, or
who doesn't make a bowl game?
Right, true. True. Who doesn't make a bowl game?
Colorado Buffaloes, okay.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. I was a little surprised that Bill O'Brien was leaving, you know, be an offensive coordinator at Ohio State, you know, a top 3 Big Ten program to go and be the head coach at Boston College, but I guess he likes that area and he's familiar with, maybe he feels like he can recruit up that way, and so we'll see.
And maybe he just wanted to be a head coach.
Yeah, and he wanted to be that, yeah. But it's just an interesting place to be the head coach.
Right.
There's a lot of places that I feel like you would want to be the head coach, but
right,
Boston College, I don't know. I mean, I don't know, so.
Any big-time coaches ever come out of there?
Well,
Maybe back in the day, I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember. I mean, I know Adagio was the head coach at Boston College for a few years and then went to, you know, Colorado State and got fired, and then I think now he's Texas A&M as, like, offensive line coach or something, so I don't know. But, yeah, it's the last time I remember kind of a guy I knew. So, yeah, it'd be interesting. But I am rooting for, like, Bill O'Brien is like a guy I can root for. Like, I like him. He brought Penn State kind of out of the dark kind of time that kind of turned, that program was kind of trying to recover from a lot of post Joe Paterno stuff, and I feel like he was a great guy to kind of lead them out of that. And, you know, I wish he would have stayed at Penn State, but he left to go to Houston and was the head coach there. So yeah. But yeah, so I am rooting for the guy. Like, I feel like he's a good coach and, you know, overall good guy. I don't, you know, not caught up in any scandals or anything.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. No, I'm.
Are you a big Bill O'Brien guy? I think it's time to get my Boston College hat. No, I don't know. You know me. I always jump on trains early. You know,
you do
no matter
jump
where
on
they're
trains.
Going,
so. I see a lot of your trains seem to be all connected to Tom Brady somehow.
No, that's not true. I mean, but it is funny though. Like when my buddy Cody, he was an offensive grad assistant at Boston College a few years ago when Adagio was up at Boston College. So I actually went to a Boston College game a few years ago when they played at Pitt. I drove out there and went to that game. So I'll have to dig up my – well, I don't know if I still have that Boston College sweatshirt, but we'll have to see. So,
wow.
Yeah. So Mimo was born to be a Boston College guy.
Never too late.
So maybe I'll...
What's their mascot?
The Eagles.
The Eagles, that's right. Yeah. But I am interested in watching Chip Kelly, see if he's had any changes in his philosophy.
And can they beat Michigan this year? You
know, can they beat Michigan? It would be a little bit different, I guess, with Jim Harbaugh not there anymore.
Yeah.
Not that it would take anything away, but that was the big thing. Jim Harbaugh has been there, what, maybe 8 years or so in Michigan? Seven?
Yeah, I think it's six seasons. 6 years. Seven seasons.
So it kind of feels like with all the new teams coming in that the Big Ten is kind of up in the air this year as far as it is,
and it's going to be tough, though. It's going to be a tough conference, though. You got UCLA joining. You got Washington. So, yeah, it's going to be tough.
I sent Nick
Ulmer. Oregon. Yeah, that's right, right. Oregon, yeah.
Sent Nick Ulmer a video this week of basically a hype video for the Colorado Buffaloes. And I'm sure other schools do different things and things like that. But I don't know, just seeing everything that, that Coach Prime's doing. I know some listeners out there might not be Coach Prime lovers. That's okay. That's I understand. Right. That's okay. But
It was kind of a shame because it felt like there was so much hype in him. And after I watched that first game, and I was like, oh, yeah, you bet, baby. It's prime time. And then it kind of like fell apart. So,
well, he said in that hype video, he's addressed every weakness that they've had. And he said, what's the problem? In this hype video, he's like, what's the problem?
Yeah.
He's like, all right, we didn't make a bowl game, but we changed the culture. Did we sell out every game? And he said, nothing's changed. We coming.
Yeah. I was all on the Prime train.
Oh, I know.
So I don't know. I'm kind of
derailed.
Well, I'm not fully sold on it, maybe. Like I was. So we'll see. But yeah, we'll see.
Okay.
I'm rooting for him.
Rooting for him?
Yeah. So.
Just not quite just over the top.
Who will I be rooting for more? Boston College or?
Well, listen, my excitement has not wavered. So once they start winning, I'm not letting you come back on the train.
I'm not off the train. I just have 1 foot out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you heard it here first, folks, listeners. I don't know if that made sense.
It did.
I don't even know what I said.
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. So, nice. Okay, Nick Ulmer. Trade deadline came and went.
It did.
NBA.
Yeah.
No real huge.
Buddy Hield.
Well, for the Sixers, there was really no big news. We got a text message from a Jeremy, who has been on the podcast before, and he said something to the effect of a big bomb dropped by Wojanowski or whoever the ESPN NBA insider.
The Woj bomb.
And I texted back, what was it? Something about not a huge, I don't know if that was the, which trade they were talking about there. But I just wrote back and I said something like a bomb. That sounds more like a smoke alarm. So nothing really huge coming out of Sixers camp. People are saying, are they kind of kicking the can down the curb, waiting for next year and free agency this summer? But apparently there's no free agency. I don't know. Yeah. But he's, what did they say on the 94 WIP?
So
he got his surgery. Yeah. Meniscus is, they're saying he'll be ready for the playoffs. And I'm thinking, meniscuses are usually only a 3 to 4 week thing. I mean, he should be back here coming up. Playoffs don't start till April.
Right.
So I'm sure they'll take it slow with him. And what was his Perkins on ESPN said they should shut him down.
Yeah, he did say that. He said they should shut him down. That's a little extreme.
I guess you could get a better draft pick. I don't even know if they have their first round draft pick this year. But they got plenty of second round picks, I know, from their trust the process. Were you a big trust the process guy? Not necessarily with Embiid's nickname, but just Was that Sam Hinkie?
Yeah, Sam Hinkie and the not really. I thought it was kind of like, I mean, it was a lot of tanking. So, talk about tanking to the max. So,
wow.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't love when teams tank.
No.
You know. So.
And the Sixers felt like they were in a perpetual tanking.
Yeah. So.
Woo.
They made it. They made it an art.
And a science.
Yeah.
Man, they sure did. So, you know, some teams made some not huge moves, but the Knicks seemed to solidify their position, and Boston Celtics made a few moves.
And they're 40 wins, so 25-3 at home. It's kind of, it's pretty impressive.
Yes. So, I don't know. Do they have what it takes to make it all the way? That is the question.
But how about the LA Clippers, 34-16?
Yeah, they started out rough after that Harden trade, yeah, and then they seemed to
I thought that Harden going to LA was. But who knows? We'll see. You know,
right, because they got to stay healthy, and so I didn't read it, but apparently there was a headline that said Russell Westbrook was having a bit of a resurgence, which I was surprised. I know they had all of them in the starting lineup early on, and he said, let me just go to the bench. I'll be with the second team. And so I don't know what's happened there. Maybe he's kind of really exploded here in that second unit role. But I've never been a Russell Westbrook hater.
No.
I know he sometimes can get a little aggressive with the fans when they're yelling at him and things like that. But I just feel like, I mean, what more can you ask for? He plays hard.
He plays hard. He does turn like the ball over a lot.
He does. But not the greatest shooter. But I just like how he plays hard. And he's not, I wouldn't say he's a load management kind of guy.
No, he plays a lot. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, yeah, nothing too monumental to write home about. But the NBA playoffs will kind of get a little bit more attention, listeners, when we get into April, because we're not even at the All-Star game yet.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you heard the story. The NBA All-Star, I don't know if they're doing it for the game. They might be doing it for the game. That's, but definitely,
that's next weekend.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But for the festivities, they're playing the NBA slam dunk contest, some of their celebrity games. They're playing it on an all-glass LED court.
Okay. That's interesting.
So I guess they'll be able to do replays flashing on the court, and they can create all this different imagery on the court. And so I was saying, on glass, how's that going to feel? And but they said they were able to kind of make it specifically for the give that hardwood gives.
Yeah.
When you're jumping off of it, they said they were able to emanate that, or not emanate that, but
manipulate that.
Yeah.
Okay.
To make it, give it a real feel.
Okay.
So
The real feel.
Yeah, the real feel coming out here, even in the sports talk. But that'll be interesting to follow and see what kind of graphics they give. I mean, they're trying to do anything to get that All-Star Weekend to be a little bit more legitimate.
Yeah, trying to compete with the NFL a little bit.
Yeah.
It's hard to compete with the NFL. So
even with no game.
Right.
Did you watch the flag football? I didn't even do it.
I did not watch the Pro Bowl games.
Okay.
I'm a traditionalist.
Right.
Let's just permit the Pro Bowl.
So do you remember, maybe that was during the Pro Bowl, but I remember back in the day, they were always outside, and they had those games where the quarterbacks were throwing. Was that Pro Bowl week as well?
Yeah, you would have, I think so. Yeah,
but I've always felt like there was quarterbacks there that weren't necessarily in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, but they were still doing like different like drill
challenges
and stuff. Yeah,
where they had the moving target and the quarterbacks
bring
would throw
it back and do it in Honolulu. And come on, you know.
Come on.
Why? Whatever. I don't know. Come on. The Pro Bowl is meant to be played after the Super Bowl, but that's just my opinion. So
I actually like it in between.
Okay. Well, thank you for agreeing with me, but no, I'm just kidding.
Because there's 2 weeks off, kind of gives a little bit more Yeah, but I guess
it's just the whole Pro Bowl games, and then you don't even have the like
a real game,
right? And you don't have, you know, players that are, you know, in the Super Bowl aren't participating in it, so
right.
So
yeah, they always opt out anyway. Whether it was, did they play in it when it was after the?
Yeah, they most of the time they would play.
Okay,
yeah, they would.
I know growing up, we could never watch it because we didn't have cable.
Okay.
So I never saw any Pro Bowls way back in the day.
Well, you missed out.
So, yeah. So that'll be interesting, that all-glass court, listeners. Be on the lookout for that in the Pro Bowl, or the Pro Bowl, the NBA All-Star Weekend, if you are watchers, to see. Love to hear your thoughts on Twitter X, at Through Rearview, capital T for through, capital R. For Rearview, so there
next
you go.
Next week, AJ and I could talk about it because I'll be making that trip up to New York with him. No, well, he doesn't know that yet, but he's gonna hop in last second. So, no.
So, Phoenix Open. Moving on to golf.
Yeah,
are you a big Scottsdale tournament guy? This is where they have the famous 16th hole, now enclosed by grandstands. And gets pretty rowdy out there.
Kind of a live style.
Well, I think Liv wanted to.
But Liv took the idea from them. So.
Yes. Wanted to kind of replicate. There's the word, replicate that kind of atmosphere. And so, but there was a funny story coming out. It was on ESPN.com. And it was these guys. This has nothing to do with the tournament, but seven guys, all of them wearing different type Mark Sanchez jerseys, walking around. So people were starting to wonder, like, what's with it? But apparently it's friends and family, and they're juniors and seniors. It's a group of friends at Texas A&M, and so they're wearing them. And I guess it started as a gag gift.
Okay.
One of them got a jersey years ago after the infamous, what's Mark Sanchez known for?
That butt fumble.
The butt fumble, yeah. Got a gag gift. And so now they're just walking around Scottsdale in their Mark Sanchez, what do they call it? The Mark Sanchez Brigade. So there you have it. But anyway, back to the real golf. No real big names I've noticed. There's no real hot winners.
Like, so it looks like Novak is leading. Is that Novak and Taylor?
Nick Taylor. He's a Canadian.
He's a Canadian. I mean,
maybe he's our listener.
There he is.
There he is.
That's when he's not playing golf. He's listening.
That's
to that,
right.
Looking through the rear view.
Well, looking through. But he had an amazing round one. Shot a 60. So it's par 71. So he was at 11 under. So yesterday, not so great of a round, one under. But then you got a couple of big names lurking at 8 under. You got Scottie Scheffler, who's looking to make it a three-peat. He's actually won this tournament 2 years running. Then you got Justin Thomas, 8 under. You got Cam Young, 8 under. And somebody who hasn't been playing all that well the last few years, Jonathan Vegas.
So give me
Speaking of playing this,
you know Super Bowl in Vegas.
He's been on tour for, I don't know, maybe almost a decade now. He kind of came out and I forget what country he's from. He's not from the United States. He's from Venezuela. And he won fairly early on in his career and then kind of had not a falling off, but just wasn't playing well. So it's kind of fun to see him kind of back into it. He was one of those early on big hitters. So he still has to finish his round two out this morning because they had a little weather, which was kind of shocking out in Arizona.
Yeah.
I know in California they had to cancel the Pebble Beach Pro-Am one round short due to weather.
Due to the atmospheric river or whatever they call
it. Yeah, you're a big weather guy, Nick. We want to give the listeners a little lesson on atmospheric rivers.
I don't understand it completely, but it's a deluge of rain.
A deluge.
So there's your word of the day.
Yeah. Sounds a little delusional.
Yeah, it's all right. But We just like to, yeah, so.
An atmospheric river. Sounds like a love song. Speaking of love, it is Valentine's Day. Singles Awareness Day coming up. Yeah.
So if you want to send any hearts, let me know.
Heart emojis?
Yeah.
Okay, I remember that. So, yeah. And then after this week, Tiger Woods tournament. And he has officially committed to playing next week.
Where is that at?
That's in, I guess they always say it's in Los Angeles. Okay. Riviera is the golf club.
Okay.
It's not exactly Los Angeles, but it's fairly close.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a suburb of Los Angeles, but it's in California. So I was a little worried. Is the rain? I don't know where Pebble Beach is located on the West Coast, but in California, it's in California, but I don't know how close that was as far as the atmospheric rivers having any effect on that course.
So it's like kind of really jets, Pebble Beach really jets out there on the coast. Looks like it's south of San Jose.
Pebble Beach or?
Yeah, Pebble Beach. Okay. Yeah. It's north of Los Angeles, though.
Pebble Beach is?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Santa Barbara.
Okay.
Just give me a couple of names.
Oh, I appreciate that, yeah.
Yeah. So in between, well, closer to San Jose, but in between L.A. and San Jose.
Where's Riviera Golf Club? You can look that up real quick and get this app. But Tiger Woods, and I guess there's been some noise about he's going to be unveiling his new clothing line. That'll be interesting to see. I mean, I don't know how much of a difference it could really make, but we will find out. But I'm really curious to see what his game looks like, what his walk looks like.
Yeah, it looks like, so Riviera Country Club, is that? But okay. So it'd be like right near Santa Monica.
Okay.
So a little west of Los Angeles. So,
okay. Yeah. Santa Monica, Santa Clara. Yeah. Santa Claus.
Santa Claus, you know.
He's pretty close there too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. 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 So.
Yeah. When he's not at North Pole, he's out there.
So. Oh, nice. Well, Nick, any other big topics here you wanted to touch upon?
No.
Tennis is kind of off here a little bit. Tennis. No baseball, real big news. Well,
pitchers and catchers report soon.
Yes.
So, like 5 days, so kind of hard to believe.
I know. But it does feel like the World Series has been this has kind of felt like the longest break. I don't know why. Maybe because the Phillies weren't in it all the way to the World Series, but pitchers and catchers.
Nice sunny areas and not up
here. A lot of 50s and 80s, yeah.
Not dealing with the spring, tease of spring.
So. Nice. Well, since I brought it up, maybe let's just do it. I'm going to put Nick Ulmer on the spot and go ahead and let's, Nick. Another segment we've done in the past is our test. Tito's Nick Ulmer pet peeve of the week. Nick, anything on your mind as far as a pet peeve in the sports world besides those trenches?
Bandwagon fans. So I feel like Super Bowls bring out a lot of bandwagon fans.
People okay.
are all of a sudden Chiefs and Niners fans. So
sort of like that Buffalo t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm
not. Uh-huh. I'm listening.
I'm that's more of hype.
Okay.
That's not me saying that's not me saying that now all of a sudden is the Colorado's my top team.
Gotcha.
I feel like it's a little bit of a different, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Because right. I feel like a bandwagon fan is someone who's like.
They always go with the top, the front runners.
Right, right.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I gotcha. Yeah.
I was all about the Buffaloes.
When they were bad. Right. And we didn't know.
Well, we didn't know. And it was just hype. Right, hype. And also, I wasn't saying all of a sudden that they're my favorite team.
Gotcha.
So I'm a Penn State fan.
Okay.
So
I gotcha. Right.
Yeah, so thank you.
No, thanks for that clarification.
But AJ was kind of sitting there thinking, I could see the wheels turning. And he's like, well, I'm going to turn the tables on Nick Ulmer here.
So there you have it, Nick Ulmer's pet peeve of the week.
I want to see how. I don't know. I'm just interested to see tomorrow night everyone like hype about oh, you know, I I've always liked the Chiefs, or you know, so, or I've always liked the Niners, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Niners, growing up, were almost sort of close to being the new America's team when you had Joe Montana and Jerry Rice, the West Coast lifestyle.
Yep.
And then I guess after Steve Young, they kind of fell off for a while and really haven't made it back at all till now. I mean, they had some mini resurgences, but nothing quite like those 80s.
No.
With
the
49ers and the Bill Walsh days.
Nope.
So. Nice. Well, Nick, that'll jump us into our next segment, which we said last week, what a great top five it would be if we would talk about our top five most favorite Super Bowls of all time.
Yep.
So, with Super Bowl, I don't know, what is it, Super Bowl 57? 67? 77?
It'd be Super Bowl.
I wouldn't even be able to tell. I can look. I see it. It's LV11. I don't know how to read Roman numerals. Oh, that was last year's. So it's something 3 or 8. I think it's 8. 58. I'm going to say 58.
I think it's 58.
Yep. Because there's 50. Why do they have 50 on here labeled 50, but not with Roman numerals?
Yeah, Super Bowl 58.
Yeah. All right. All right now. All right, Nick Ulmer. Take it away.
All right, so number five, I am going to go 2015. The Patriots holding on to the infamous, they should have given the Marshawn Lynch game.
Oh.
Down at the goal line, and they said so they threw it, and Malcolm Butler picks it off. And the Patriots win 28-24. Number four, the Rams-Titans 2000 Super Bowl. Kind of at the end, and Dyson is stretching out his arm for that goal line. He just doesn't quite make it. So Rams 23-16 in a barn burner. And Kurt Warner gets that Super Bowl.
Gets the Super Bowl. Yep. That was the greatest show on turf team.
What said you betcha. number three, the 2009 Super Bowl, the Steelers in that barn burner of a game where they beat the Cardinals at the last minutes.
Who was that? Plexico Burgess that caught it in the corner?
No, I think it was Holmes.
Holmes.
Yeah. It was Antonio Holmes, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Steelers win 27-23. Number two, the Eagles-Patriots 2018 Super Bowl. Phenomenal game played by both teams. Tom Brady, my boy, had a phenomenal game. But I am a big Eagles fan, and the Eagles prevailed. And won that Super Bowl and finally got one.
Got one, yeah.
Yeah, and it was quite the game.
It was.
Quite a classic.
Yeah.
So.
And then what would be number one then?
Well, number one, I just think because if just the Patriots were undefeated and they were destined for greatness, and the Giants came back and Eli Manning beat the Patriots after that amazing Tyree catch.
Mm-hmm. On the head?
On the head. And so that was my number one Super Bowl that I remember. Just a phenomenal game. Giants stunned the Patriots 17-14 to end that great run in that undefeated season. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Randy Moss era and woo. Well said, Nick Ulmer. All right. My top five starts with that exact game that you had number one.
Okay, huh? Wow.
So because the big to-do going down the stretch of that season. Should they go for undefeated, and should they pull players? And ended up undefeated and then making it to the Super Bowl. And you thought, because they always say the Dolphins undefeated players gather every time the last undefeated team loses, and they have a toast to say that they're still the only team that's ever done it. Less games that they played, but still the only undefeated team to win a championship.
Yeah.
So that was epic. A low scoring game, but yeah, that amazing catch. And I believe that was the second of Eli Manning's Super Bowls, or was it the first?
I think it was the first. Yeah, it was the first, because then he won again in 2012 against the Patriots. He beat the Patriots twice.
Wow, man.
He beat Tom Brady
Brady killer.
That's all right.
So, number four. This is kind of early on in my days. 1988 was not a Washington Redskins, because they were called the Washington Redskins back then, so I'm allowed to say it back then. Their starting quarterback was out, and they plugged in Doug Williams, who was, I think, the first African-American quarterback to start in a Super Bowl, ended up winning, set ton of records, and just was feeling good about that game. So that was 1988 Super Bowl 22. Number three was the heartbreaking first time I got to see the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl, and Tom Brady pulled that one out. Infamous, there's stories about Donovan McNabb puking in the huddle on the final drive. And
what was he doing the night before?
Oh, man. So a lot of things there, but that was definitely a heartbreaker, and a lot of things in that game that were just weird that happened. Yeah. And T.O. making it back for that game, so that was a crusher. Number two is... this was kind of like my first ever remembering a Super Bowl. 1985. You weren't born.
No, I was.
Which is kind of funny to say that you weren't born for this one. And this is sort of like the first time I started to really emulate people. Uh-huh. And so I would have only been 8 at the time. And it was the infamous Chicago Bear team.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So they had the dominating defense with the Refrigerator Perry, and so the Chicago Bears won, but Jim McMahon was the quarterback, and he kind of always had his helmet on, and it always felt like his helmet brim like came down on his eyes. So I remember in that Super Bowl, I was wearing one of the helmets that we had gotten for Christmas on my head, and he always would chew gum when he played too. He's like, yeah. And so this is everything about Jim McMahon. He'd wear headbands and this and that. And yeah. So he was just kind of like this cool guy. And so I remember acting like him. That's so, and then number one, being that I'm an Eagles fan.
Yeah.
No excuses. Can't change it.
It's not even about excuses, but that I'm saying, like, in my eyes, they're the greatest Super Bowls of all time.
I understand. Right. Okay. You take your personal feelings aside, yeah, yes, and you just look at it objectively.
That's right.
Well, so do I. And I got the Eagles. What a game. Watched it right here in this space. And it's just, that's one of those sports moments that and the game before the NFC Championship game, which was just absolutely amazing. Just that whole 3 week, because then they had the week in between, but you had this just infamous, I'm trying to think, there was one Super Bowl where they didn't have a week in between for some reason. I'm not sure if that was the one. Anyway, that two game stretch, because the game before that they had won against Atlanta, they down the stretch, but I guess you could throw that game in there too. And just that entire season was just unbelievable. Yeah. And that's number one for me, and number one in your heart, Nick Ulmer. That's my top five. So, yeah. Nice. Well said. So, that's helped you to gear you up for your Super Bowl run on tomorrow, I guess.
Yes. Yeah, so. It is tomorrow. And enjoy those snacks.
Those Tostitos and hopefully, corn nuts.
Don't be a double dipper. Seriously, don't bite the chip and then dip back in.
Dip back in. What if you dip on the other side? Is that acceptable?
Take enough. Pushing it, but it's better than taking a bite and then dipping right back in.
Double dippers, yeah.
So watch out for wardrobe malfunctions and double dippers. Someone's dipping in the double dipping.
And I apologize, Nick Ulmer.
You can swap that out of their hand.
Yeah, and I apologize.
Oh, yeah.
I called it the Tostitos. drives you, but that's the corn nuts.
It's the oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you something. People would be giving me a lot of weird looks if I brought a big bag of corn nuts to the Super Bowl. So I'm probably going to hold off on that snack being my choice. So, yeah, there's not a ton of people that probably eat corn nuts, but...
Well, I got, it's funny. I got a pack of corn nuts from like an off brand store. So they were close to expiration.
Yeah.
And then I kept them, right? So, and yeah. And then, so this teacher I found out likes corn nuts. And so she covered for me my PE class when I was absent. She's like she's the building assistant.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I came back and gave her a pack of corn nuts. And she's like, I don't want these. I was like, oh, you like them? She's like, yeah, but they're expired.
Listen.
It's like, oh, it's only like a week old. Come on.
Yeah, so they're corn nuts.
They're corn nuts. The corn nuts never go stale. No. So, nice. So, well, speaking of stale, Nick Ulmer.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts on any sports topics for the week?
Nope. We've covered a lot, so we're ready to move on.
Ready to move on, listeners. And that brings us to our, kind of blank there for a second, our Time's Yours, where we present to you stories that might be off the beaten path. They're not necessarily headline news. And here is Time's Yours.
Guys, execute it well. Time's yours. Listen, man, you have some water? Time's yours.
Nick Ulmer.
So we didn't talk about during the podcast, but the LL League basketball playoffs start Monday.
Oh, and wow. So, I didn't know the season ended.
Yeah. You're all wrapped up in the Super Bowl now.
Yeah.
But Penn Manor has made the tournament. So,
nice.
Yeah, so they're at LS on Monday. Lancaster Mennonite plays at Warwick. Meenheim Central plays at Columbia. And Octorara plays at Sierra Crest. So... I would think that Cedar Crest would be the favorite. We'll see how it kind of pans out. And, yeah, so the quarterfinals are Monday, the semifinals are Wednesday, and the finals are Friday.
Congratulations to Penn Manor.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Coach Larry Bellew, who I went to college with. Coach Barry Acker, who I had on my Times Yours, is an assistant coach there now. So.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so. But they made the tournament, and... doesn't sound like you and I will be able to go like we did last year because you'll be on the road
on Friday.
Yeah, on Friday.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
So
that would be fun, but maybe well, it'd be nice to get to.
Sounds like you're staying back and going up Saturday morning.
No.
There are decisions that they can come later. So.
Oh wow, man, that is exciting. Yeah, I kind of lost touch with things that were happening in the local scene here recently, but man, Penn Manor, nice. I know they were having a good year.
It'd be cool to see them make a run if they could somehow.
Any update on that player that got hurt?
He came back.
Okay.
So he's back. So yeah.
He's back, baby. Nice. All right. Well, Nick Ulmer, my Time's Yours is just a... Well, we didn't even get a chance to touch upon this. Maybe I just want to throw this out here real quick. That Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, she's
quickly approaching. Yeah. Probably, if not this next game, she'd have to go off for, I think, 39 points to tie it, so 40 to break it. But probably in the next two games, she will be the NCAA women's record holder for most points in a career. So shout out to CeCe. So, chasing history. My Time's Yours is, a pretty widely known story that people probably have heard about. But... this past week on 2/8/2024, which you had some significance there with the year 24 and the number 8. You know where I'm going with this, Nick Ulmer? No, okay. So, on that day, there was an unveiling of Kobe Bryant's statue. Okay. In front of, I call it the Staples Center. I don't even know what it's called anymore. I don't think it's called the Staples Center. But where the Los Angeles Lakers play, statue was unveiled of Kobe Bryant.
That's cool.
And yeah. So they picked that day because of He wore the number 8 and the number 24. So there's been some stories out there about how players today really, he's the Jordan of this player's era.
Yeah,
Whereas, you know, me and maybe some players maybe in their 30s would have had Jordan as their player. So anyway, just a kind of a shout out to just Kobe Bryant in the sense of he was not a player I really followed. No. And he was, there was some grumblings early on when he was with Shaquille O'Neal and how is he selfish, this and that. And so it feels like if you're not a Philadelphia sports player,
yeah,
I just don't follow you, or I just don't feel like I don't have as much affection for you. And it feels like post-career when I start to learn about them is when I start to really appreciate them.
So
just some of the things Kobe stood for in sports related, in just his work ethic. And so he has this one quote that I really love where he says, yeah, you work hard, work real hard, and if you lose, it sucks. But you got to get up and do it again the next day and just keep working at it. If you win, great. But you got to get it back up the next day and do it all over again and keep working. And so there's actually this one YouTube video. There's multiple YouTube videos, but it's almost like a motivational speech video. And just has all these different, just different viewpoints on how he views it. I guess it's what they call the Mamba mentality. Uh-huh. And I love it. And think about it just in how I, some of the goals I've set physically for me this year, my knees have kind of put me in a setback there, but he's kind of funny in that saying, hey, you're feeling sore, so what? Push through, which I guess just the way he thinks about hard work kind of matches the way I feel. So anyway, shout out to Kobe Bryant, the late, great Kobe Bryant, and congratulations on a statue. I'm not a big statue guy, but the legacy of who he is, I really appreciate that. So that's my time's yours.
All right. Awesome.
Nick Omer.
Thank you for sharing.
Get ready for that Super Bowl.
You bet. Can't wait to look for double dippers.
No. You're the double dipper policeman.
No. But it's a Seinfeld episode, by the way.
Oh, is it? Yeah, okay, yeah. You got a lot of Seinfeldisms.
Yeah.
I was at the dentist this week, and Nick Omer said he's an anti-dentile, I think.
Anti-dentite, yeah.
Anti-dentite.
Yeah.
I have not yet watched that clip that you sent me, but I will have to take
a look at
that.
Sounds like you're really ignoring my text these days.
No, I look at it, but then if it's like a link to something else, I don't always. Like, because I get it during the school day. I can't just say, kids, boys and girls, sit down and lock all your windows and doors and let me watch this video. And then I don't always get back. So, yeah.
Okay. So,
well done, Nick. Have a great weekend.
Hey, thank you. You too.
And
I won't be bringing core nuts, but maybe I'll bring something else. So.
Sounds good. Keep your double dipping hands away. Oh, friends! Sports continue to bring joy and excitement to millions of fans all over the world. From thrilling victories to heart-wrenching losses, including the Super Bowl, sports offer a roller coaster of emotions. It is a reminder that no matter the outcome, it is the passion, dedication, and hard work of the athletes. Like the Mamba mentality that makes sports such a beloved pastime. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us for the next episode of Looking Through the Rearview, All Things Sports.